The church, its voice is going to be heard again. I believe that there is, like the church is, it's quite quiet. It's like a hidden thing that's taking place at the moment. And I think there's several different things that are going on within the church. I think there's a lot of method going on in church at the moment. But also I really believe that God is stirring up his people to be some the church that God wants it to be. How many of you were at Faith Camp? Okay, just a handful. One of the messages at Faith Camp was to do with the potter and being the clay, but also then talking about the blacksmith. This was a gentleman called Andy Elms who was speaking again. It was the third year that he'd been with us. He is a pastor from a church in Portsmouth. But one of the things that he was talking about was that he believes that we need to be, the church needs to again be blacksmiths again. But also he talks about us coming into a place where we are placing our lives on the potter's wheel, willingly, to allow him to again bring the shape that he wants for each one of his children. But then it has to go into the kiln, doesn't it? And in the kiln, all any imperfections would show up. And if there is, in the potter's wheel, if it hasn't been perfected in the way that God wants it to be perfected, when it goes into a kiln, what would happen? It would possibly crack and break if there's still a flaw left in the clay or in the pot that it's been formed. So God is wanting to do a work within his church, in his body, that actually brings about such a transformation. But you see, then the blacksmith comes into place because it needs to go on to the forge. And one of the things that came across in this message was that, you know, he really believed that the church needed to go again back onto the anvil, the blacksmith's anvil, and therefore be forged into the steel that he was wanting, or God is wanting for his church, working together so that it's a sharpness in the church once more, seeing the supernatural power of the living God coming amongst his people. One of the things that really challenged me, I read recently to do with Campbell McAlpine, regarding the Lewis Revival. And in the Lewis Revival, Duncan Campbell said these things. He said that God was everywhere. It was in the 50s when there was a move of God that was taking place in the Outer Hebrides in the late 40s, early 50s. So we're talking about 60 years ago. But one of the things that it was always saying was God was everywhere. How did they know God was everywhere? How did they know? Because they could see in the lives of people what God was doing was very real and very tangible. It wasn't hidden. And so therefore people were coming out of different situations and they were falling down on their knees because God was everywhere, and the evidence was that people were getting completely and utterly saved. People were getting healed. People were walking back home, and suddenly they were on their knees, on their faces before God, out in the streets. Why? Because God was everywhere. Building shook. Why? Because God was everywhere. There was evidence. My question to us, as the Church of Jesus Christ, is God seen in what you do and in what I do? Could people in your scenarios, in work, in your neighborhood, your friendship groups, could everybody around you say, wow, the presence of God flows out of your life in a real way. Not just with words saying, God bless you, hallelujah, glory, amen, all of those Christian language that we can so easily portray within a group of people. But what is the evidence of God at work in your lives? Are people being healed around you? When you go into an environment, does it change? I'm from Liverpool, and I was part of a shipping company in Liverpool for several years before I actually moved down south. And my accent starts coming out now. But one of the things that, when I was in Liverpool, one of the things that actually started to happen was that when I was in a tea room, because it was an open office and we had a tea room, but when I was in the tea room, everybody stopped swearing. It was just one of those things that people did automatically. And if they started to swear, they immediately said, oh, I'm sorry. Now, that's a small thing. It's a very small thing, but it's something that actually they recognize something in me that actually made a difference in the environment that they came into. And my question still to us all is, what is the evidence of what God is doing in your life? Because I believe that God wants all of us to be coming here each week. We've got some exciting things going on. But we've got some situations where we've got an issue that we've got to come into a place where the reality of God brings the change in their lives and situations. Real change. I genuinely believe God wants to see people set free. I believe God wants to heal people. And I just know that let's just stand up and pray. Okay, let's just stand and pray. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Father. I just delight in you. Thank you, Father. Oh, shetera batona shetora bahande dede. Oh, totara babasonde dede dede dede. Oh, Father, I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for the evidence of transformed lives. Father, I just thank you that there is power in the name of Jesus. Power to bring freedom, power to deliver, power to set free. Father, Lord, we know that when we speak the name of Jesus, oh Lord, all heaven is wanting to say, go, yes, amen. They want to support everything that is said when we speak, when we proclaim his name in any situation, any circumstance. Father, I just thank you for the power of the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just know that you are wanting your word and your spirit, Father, to be activated in our lives so that there's evidence of you being present amongst us. Amen. Father, where anything that is opposing you cannot remain. Father, Lord, we just know, Father, Lord, that in the power and the name of Jesus, the enemy has to flee. Oh, God, we just know, Father, where there's light, darkness cannot exist. And Father, Lord, we just know, Father, the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray. Let for each and every one of us, Father, there will be real, tangible evidence of you at work in our lives. Amen. Father, Lord, things that we can write down, things that we can discuss, things that we can testify about. The reality of you at work in our lives, working in and through us. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the power of the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. But it is. God wants us to, to be evidence in our lives. I believe that when we focus on God, our lives can be so totally and utterly different. I believe that all of us, and I've had one of those days, you know, where everything goes wrong. where, you know, you get a text in the morning and it just throws you off course for the whole day. And I've had one of those days. But, you know, one of the things that I've heard, and this is why partly why I'm sharing this today, is that, you know, whatever situation, whatever type of day we've had, whatever is going on, I think sometimes we can begin to get a wrong focus, an abstract picture of what is going on in our lives and our situations. And we can allow, you know, when before it was turned over, it was a very abstract picture. Very few people could understand what was going on or what it was going to become. Some people could see, maybe it could be that or maybe it could be that if you haven't seen it before. But one of the things that you see very, very clearly when it's turned around, your focus when is so, so clear that it's a picture of what people see as Jesus. Of course, nobody knows what he looks like, but that's, you know, a picture where everybody will say, oh, that must be Jesus, because it's in many portraits, isn't it? You know, even in stained glass windows, sometimes you can see that face. And one of the things that God's just, and we're going to do something in a minute, but one of the things that I really believe God is saying is that there is, in every single one of our lives, there's a situation or situations that we just need to, again, just sort of say, okay, I just need to come back and focus on God in this situation. It may not be something very, very big. It may just be a relationship issue that has gone a little bit awry. And it's like, okay, Lord, I just need to come back and refocus upon you so that I can allow you then to do what you want to do in this situation. It may be something to do with health. It may be to do with work. It may be to do with, you know, a son or daughter. It may be to do with a brother or sister. It may be to do with all sorts of different things, finances. It can be anything where, in one sense, we've allowed ourselves to get the picture in an abstract rather than our focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 12, it says, Hebrews chapter 12. All the heroes of faith are like a great crowd of witnesses that surround us and encourage us to keep faith with God. So let us shrug off everything that comes against us and refuse every temptation to sin with which the devil wants to entangle us. Let us persevere in running the race in which God has entered us with our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is always ahead of us. Without him, we could not have faith, nor could we grow in faith. He gave us faith and he will perfect our faith. Look at the way he ran the race. He always aimed for the eternal joy that lay ahead of him. Even though along the way he had to suffer to the point of death on the cross, regardless of the shame that was attached to such a death, he finished the race and is now seated in heaven at God's right hand. One of the things that I believe we're going to do tonight is that we're going to get into groups. Okay, we're going to get into a group of about four or five people. And this is the time where we lock the doors so that nobody can get out. But, you know, one of the things is I'm going to ask you guys at the front to be in one of the groups, okay? But I want groups of about five. So if we can all stand up, and then we'll come back in a minute, in about 10 minutes. But if we can get you guys just to go and get a group of four or five people around you. Okay. It may mean that you have to move out your seat. Because I really believe God wants to do something tonight. That's why I'm doing this. Okay? This is where we're going to be very honest with one another. Because I genuinely believe this is relevant for absolutely every single one of us, where we just need to refocus on a particular issue in our lives at this moment in time. And I just want us to be very honest, and I want you to go around the group. This is not the time where you have long sentences of explaining everything in your life. I just want you just to say one or two words. Okay, it may be relationship with family or something like that. Very, very simple. But then the other people in your group, I want you to pray for that person that they will have a refocusing and just have that image of that abstract picture being turned around and suddenly seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. So guys, if you want to go and begin to pray. Thank you, Jesus. All groups can get back together. That would be brilliant. Thank you. Everybody take the seat. And then we can, if you've left anybody out, then we can come together in a minute. What I want you to understand is God wants to use you to impart something of his life into other people. It's not just the people who are at the front with a microphone that God wants to use. God wants to use each and every one of you to reveal or pass something from him to others. It's like you being a signpost. God wants you to be a signpost showing the way, not to Twickenham or to Highbury or to Oxford Street, to, you know, Debenhams or John Lewis or Primark or Bond Street or Oxford Circus. He wants you to be a signpost pointing people to Jesus. How's he going to do that? It's because he places himself in you. But then when he places himself in you, he wants you to use the power of God that's in you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's why we've got to be people who are constantly saying to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, have your way in my life today. Holy Spirit, just show me what you want me to do today. And you see, that's why we need the Word of God too, so that we can continue on the path, running the race that God has planned for each and every one of us, individually, but also corporately together. But you see, God wants you to all understand you're important. Every one of you is important. And that's why I believe today God's sort of saying, actually, I want to minister to you. I want to bring back into focus who I am in different areas of your life. Why? Because God is wanting to make a difference in those areas of your lives. God doesn't speak something to just leave it in the air, dangling like a carrot. God's not like that. God wants you to know him intimately so that you can begin to hear what he's saying to each one of us, so that we can actually then move forward and advance in the way that he wants, so that actually we do have evidence of God at work in our lives because we see the fruit of what he is doing. I would love it to have people coming in, on a Friday evening here. I would love people to come running in here saying, this is what God did this week. God changed a person. God made a difference in that situation. That person's life is completely turned around because of the power of God that is at work in that situation. Finances, amazing. I didn't have anything, and then suddenly something came through the post, a check for £100. Amazing. Because God is at work. And in part, I'm challenging you that come next week when Pastor Les is back, that several of you come in with a testimony of, look what God has done in my life this week. It may be small. It may be that you pray for a headache in your son or daughter and it goes straight away. It may be just a pain in the hand that goes immediately. It may be that, you know, you just are able to encourage somebody through a phone call or through a cup of coffee. But it's a testimony of God at work in your life. Somebody came broken and having 10, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour with you, they went away different. That's positive. That's God at work. And I just really believe God's just again wanting us to open our eyes to see so many things, so many possibilities in God that he is wanting to give to you. Not just to me, but to you as well as me. Now, this is not just you. This is me too. If I was coming back next week, I would be challenging myself to come with a testimony of, look what God has done. Why? Because I really genuinely believe God is wanting us to have the evidence of our faith. We're running a race. We're wanting to continue, if that picture again was on the screen, turned around, you see Jesus. Upside down, it was difficult to see what it was going to be, wasn't it? But as soon as you turn that picture around, it came into focus. And as soon as it came into focus, wow, we could see what people deemed to be Jesus. Yes? And it's exactly like that for all of our lives. God, we just invite you into this situation. Forgive me for the times where I've just been so distracted and I've got an abstract view of your grace and your mercy in this area of my life. Lord, I choose to again bring my focus back to you and allow you to do the changes that are necessary. The potter with the clay, allowing him to mold you, shape you. Does anybody here know how to make clay pots and things? Because I don't. You could have had the mic and told us all. But I just remember that film Ghost. Oh, should I be watching that film? But, you know, where it was on the turntable and the hands are going around. I remember some of the TV programs where people had 2 minutes to make something with clay. And it always went completely out of place because it wasn't formed properly or the hands weren't around it sufficiently to shape it. And God says, I'm not wanting to form you into a shape that is not fit for purpose. I'm wanting to mold you into a pot, an instrument that I can then fill with my presence, with my Holy Spirit, because I'm planning and preparing you for tasks. I'm asking you to demonstrate who I am in the situations I send you. I want there to be evidence of my life working through you. And it may just be we had peace at home this week. That evidence, the peace of God in your life that rubs off on other people. It may be that with your boss at work, something happens with your boss at work that's, wow, that's different. Then recognize that that may be the evidence of God working something in you that suddenly has an effect on the people in your environment. Sometimes it can be a negative reaction too, because the things that we're the salt. And therefore, when we go into a situation, I'm not talking about going with a placard and banging people on the heads. I'm just saying that sometimes when we are doing what we as believers do, speaking truth, speaking positively, it can have a negative effect on some other people because we're coming against an opposing spirit. You understand? And therefore, it's sometimes important that we can see that as evidence of God at work too, because it's actually exposing something in other people's lives that he is wanting to expose. Why? Because he wants to make a difference in their lives. And I genuinely believe that if we are available and open to what he's wanting to say and do, then I believe that in time, and it's not always going to happen with the immediate, but in time, I believe that God will use you to speak words of life into a situation, which ultimately will bring life into that person's life. Because I genuinely believe that God, it's not coincidence that we get put alongside another person at work or our neighbors. It's not a coincidence that God knows those things. So God wants us in those situations to be a difference. In Romans chapter 8, says verse 5, those who live according to their own natural desires are always intent on getting what they want for themselves. That is their focus. But those who truly want to please God by being led by the Spirit make him their focus. I just want every one of us to make him our focus this week. And I genuinely believe that what you guys have prayed in your small groups, I want you to be expecting that things are going to be different in that particular specific thing that you prayed. Why? Because I believe God's real. I don't want to be meeting on a Friday evening. I don't want to be meeting on a Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever day you meet, and pray to a God that doesn't answer prayer. I don't want that. I want to be a person who connects with God, prays what he wants me to pray, sees the answers that he wants to see, because I believe that that demonstrates the glory of God to a dying world out there. And I believe that what the church needs, and this is where, you know, personally believe that this is where the church needs to be on the anvil, that blacksmith, as Andy Elms was speaking at Faith Camp, that when we as the church are on the anvil, and you know how they beat that steel when it's hot and then it goes into the cold because it's trying to create the steel to be harder because it's tempered. And so it becomes unbreakable in quotes. That's what it's trying to do. It's making it the steel harder and harder so that when it goes into battle, when it's actually used, it is unbreakable. And you see, I know too many people from the church that they have a situation that happens in their life and it's like they fall to pieces, they fall apart. And it's like, oh, God's not real. And they run for a mile for two, 3 months and then they come back to the church again. Sort of saying, I'm going to give them another go. Whereas what God wants is for us to be in a situation where we have allowed our lives to be on the potter's wheel, for the blacksmith to put us into the kiln, and also then to forge us into a vessel that is not going to break at the first sight of battle. People have to understand there's a battle out there. You just have to go. We all could go out now on Oxford Street and we can understand there's a battle going on with people's lives. You can see in people's faces. You can see in people's appearances that all sorts are going on in their lives. That's not judgmental. It's just the reality of people whose walk is not with the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes I find it hard to see the difference between people in the world and people in the church. I'm sorry to say that. But as a pastor, I get people coming to me every, you know, they have a little bruise. And, you know, those people who have children, you know that sometimes, you know, okay, just pick them up and scrape them down and then they can run again. Whereas adults, sometimes they just take ages to just get up on their feet and dust themselves off. It's just like they want so much sympathy. They want so much, oh, the pat on back. You know, let's go and forward the 25th cup of coffee, cup of tea. I believe that we as the church need a little bit of backbone as well. Where we, you know, understand who God's created us to be, but the evidence of God in our lives is that we don't fall every time, you know, we hit a hurdle. One of the things that, you know, in God Channel and some of these other situations, and even what we hear sometimes is that, you know, I'll come to God and everything's going to be fine. And there's a truth in that, but also there's something that is actually not quite right there, because God doesn't say that he's going to take us out of the world completely. And therefore, there's obstacles that we're going to have to face day in, day out. But the reality is that God wants to be there with us. And if the reality is that if we keep him our focus, then he's going to help us through each and every day. Just like my day today. It's not been a fun day today. But that's why I've got to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ as well, to ensure that I don't keep falling down every time something untoward happens, a wrong email, a phone call, or a text that has, you know, just upset me a little bit. Upset me? Come on, Father. Let's bring you back into perspective. But these things happen. That's why I'm not saying they don't happen. They happen. But what God wants us to do when they do happen is to quickly get our focus back on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we do not allow that picture to become so abstract that we lose sight of absolutely everything in the midst of that situation. Whereas God's sort of saying, no, I want to place myself. I want you to refocus on who I am in that place, so that your focus is on him and him alone, just like we've read from Romans chapter 8, verse 5. That our focus is not on the worldly things, but our focus is on him and him alone. If you just bow your heads, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Some of you were challenged right at the beginning, where I said, what is the evidence of your relationship with Jesus Christ? What do people see? And I didn't say it to make you feel guilty or saddened or disappointed in any way, but I really believe God was just sort of saying, look, there's so much more. I have so much more for each and every one of you. But one of the things that we all know is that God wants us to be obedient to what he's asking of us. And that's why it's the Word and the Spirit that is operating together. The Word says if we do something that is not part of God's plan for our lives, or we're not reflecting who he is, then there may be areas in our life that we just need to put right. If this is your first time here at Kingdom Faith London, and there's lots of things that have been said that you haven't understood about a relationship with God that he wants with every single person on the face of this earth. That's his desire. That's his longing. He does know that there's going to be people who choose a different way, choose a different path. But his heart longs, his heart cries out for each and every person. So much so, he sent his son to die on a cross in your place, in my place. If you want to know this Jesus that many of us know here, Nathan, who was leading the worship this today, Naomi, Matt, who was on electric, Mary, who's on the computer. These are people that you can come and talk to afterwards if you want to know more about Jesus. Because that's the greatest gift, that's the greatest miracle that could happen tonight. If somebody did come into this place who did not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, that they came into that relationship, that right relationship with Him, that would be the greatest miracle, because it has eternal consequences. So if that's you, I don't want you to be leaving this place tonight without actually having a conversation with one of these guys in front. Because you know your life has been focused upon yourself for so many years. And that picture of that just turning around, you just saw Jesus in a fresh and new way. And you sort of say, that's what I need. But in a sense, that's what we all need too. And I know that you've already prayed. But it's also important that, God, I do want to reflect you more and more in every area of my life. Forgive me for sometimes being so ineffective because of the decisions that I have made. And so, Father, I choose to refocus upon you. And this is my prayer. You need to be praying in similar ways too. But Lord, I ask you that you will place my life once again on that potter's wheel. And Lord, I just want to have your hands shape and mold me in whatever way you want. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. Because I know that you know what you're doing with my life. Lord, I don't want in that clay to be any imperfections. I don't want to be cracked. So that then the sign of pressure, Father, Lord, things fall to pieces. But Lord, I just ask you that on that potter's wheel that you will take all the perfections out so that when I go into the fire, Father, Lord, into that kiln, Father, Lord, whatever that looks for every single one of us, Father, we won't break. But Father, we will come out perfected. And then when we go to that blacksmith and the blacksmith's anvil, Lord, that you will sharpen us. And so, Father, I pray for the Word and Spirit to be activated in every single one of our lives. Father, do your work, Lord, in my life. I trust that you've been praying along in whatever way you have felt it right in the lines that I've been praying. But again, this is where you pray. You have to reach out to God. Because you see, God wants each and every one of us to be part of his army, not just one or two people fighting the battles and one or two people come around along for the ride. We're all in this together. It's a saying, isn't it? We're all in this together, but that's exactly what God wants it to be. Working together. Fulfilling his call, his purpose. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, yet at the same time, each one of us is given, been in, sorry, I'll start that again. Yet at the same time, each one of us is given the particular grace we need to fulfill our calling. And it is Christ himself who imparts this grace to us. That's an amazing scripture. That's an amazing scripture. When if you really look into that, it's an amazing scripture. Yet at the same time, each one of us, that's you and me, is given a particular grace that each and every one of us needs to fulfill the call that God has for you and for me. And then it goes on to say, and it is Christ himself who imparts this grace to us. I just really believe that God, it's like God's placing his hand on your head at this time. Some of you may feel it, some of you may not. That doesn't matter. But it's like God's imparting the grace that you need to fulfill what he is asking you to do. It doesn't say it was Paul, it doesn't say it was the apostles. It says Christ himself who imparts this grace to us. Christ himself who imparts his grace to us. Father, I thank you that whatever you have planned for our lives, whatever you have planned for our lives, Father, you will impart your grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm going to read that again. Yet at the same time, each one of us is given the particular grace. So that means not everyone's going to have the same grace. Yet at the same time, each one of us is given the particular grace we need to fulfill our calling. That's not my calling, that's our calling. That's you and me. And it is Christ himself who imparts this grace to us. If we believe that, there will be evidence of him, his grace, at work in our lives this week. Amen. Father, I just thank you that you don't bring your word to titillate our ears and titillate our fancy. But Lord, you come, Father, to encourage, but also to challenge. You come to correct us. You come to enfold us in your arms. You come and to place your hands of, as the potter. We're the clay, and Father, we just can rest assured we can be in a safe place in your hands. Father, we can understand your amazing love. Father, Lord, we know that we, each one of us, faces different challenges. But Lord, I thank you that your word says that you impart your grace to us to fulfill what you are requiring of us. Lord, we just have confidence in your word and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just thank Pastor Jonathan. It's really easy to, I find this, I do this a lot in church. Whenever someone's preaching or thinking, you're going, oh yeah, such and such should be listening to this song. Oh, they should be doing this in their life. But tonight it's a real message where we really need to individually just take what's been said and really process it and go through it. Because I think what I've learned with God is whenever I've responded to him and I look back on that, I can always see he's done it for the good of me and for the good of his kingdom as well. So I really want to challenge you that tonight, if you haven't responded just now, even when you go back to respond to the Lord, and let's see what he does with us, eh?